Again, good morning. Wonderful to be here with you. So I have some good news and some bad news. And so we'll kind of rip off the Band-Aid real quick. We'll talk about the bad news first. So on Facebook this past week, right, I read a report. There, a couple of my colleagues, some friends had this on their Facebook page. It's a report from the Gallup organization. And Gallup reported that for the first time in 80 years, the rate of worship has dropped below 50% in American households. So in 2020, 47% of Americans said that they attended a church, a synagogue, or a mosque. It was down from 50% in 2018 and 70% in 1999. Decline in church membership is primarily a function of increasing number of Americans who express no religious preference. And so I have a question for you this morning then. Does the literal and physical resurrection of Jesus really matter? Does Easter matter in 2021? Oddly enough, the Apostle Paul, back in the first centuries of the church, faced similar doubters about Easter, about the resurrection. And he addresses this with the Corinthian church, and he gives several reasons why the resurrection does indeed matter. So reading from Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 15, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection up from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Paul obviously believed in the resurrection. He knew that if you take Jesus rising from the dead away, everything else about our faith falls apart. That is, that means that Jesus is really dead. And if Jesus is really just dead, then what are we even doing? What are we doing here? You know, but rather than look at the negative arguments that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at them from a positive, hopeful way. If Christ rose from the dead, then that means that there is life beyond the grave. That means that for us, there is a possibility that we could have eternal life. So the resurrection of Jesus just kind of opens up eternity's door just a little bit, that we could catch a glimpse as to what might come next. If Christ rose from the dead, then he is verified to be the Son of God as he said. His promises then are trustworthy, and his teaching holds the highest credibility. Christ's resurrection means that our sins can be forgiven. It means that our Father in heaven has accepted the sacrificial death of Christ as sufficient payment for our sins. And if we put our trust in him, that we can be made new, that our sin can be washed away. If Christ rose from the dead, then our faith is not a waste of time. In fact, it is the best investment that we could ever make. The best investment we could ever make to get to know our Savior, our Jesus, better and follow him more completely. If Jesus rose from the dead, then our testimony about eternal life is not just only true, it is the most important information we have to share with others. If Christ rose from the dead, it means that our loved ones who have died in Christ are not lost forever, that we will see them again. And so you see that the resurrection of Christ is a cornerstone of our faith, that Easter matters, and it matters to us. And so I think the million-dollar question we have to ask this morning is this, that, you know, is the resurrection true? Did the resurrection really happen? And I believe it did. I truly believe it did. And I believe there are several compelling reasons to believe in the resurrection. Now, first of all, there was the empty tomb, right? When Jesus died, both the Jews and the Romans wanted to make sure that Jesus did not deliver on his promise to rise from the dead. And so that tomb was guarded. Hardened soldiers stood there, knowing that if they left their post, if they even fell asleep, they would face death. And when it was announced that Jesus was missing, there would have been this massive push to find the body. And you know what? They found nothing. Christianity would have died in its infancy if they would have found the body and put it out to display, saying, see, your Jesus is dead. You know, the empty tomb is the greatest argument for the resurrection. Every other religious leader on the face of the earth, if they die, they remain dead. They remain where they were buried at, but not Jesus, as Jesus rose from the dead. And secondly, there were eyewitnesses. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses. You know, in his Gospels and in some of his letters, we have eyewitness accounts to the risen Savior. Now remember, this is back in the day when oral history, when your word was your bond. But you know, it wasn't just the authors of Scripture that saw a risen Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that at one time, over 500 people saw Jesus alive. In fact, Paul's like, check it out. Check me, test me on this, right? And I'm sure they did. I'm sure they talked. Did you see Jesus alive? Yeah, I saw Jesus alive, right? Eyewitness accounts. Now, some will say that the eyewitness accounts have been corrupted over time. They say that people changed the biblical record over the years. And church, that's simply not true. You know, there are copies of the New Testament that go back, that date within decades of the death of Jesus. And every archaeological study has shown that when we read the Bible today, when we read the gospel today, it is the same way that it was written back then. And third, there was the martyrdom of the eyewitness or of the witnesses. You know, people may pull a scam for a certain period of time, but when their life is threatened, surely somebody would deny the story. You know, history didn't need all 12 disciples or all 11 disciples after Judas. They did not need all of the disciples to disclaim or to say that Jesus wasn't really dead. They only needed one. You know, just like how if the Romans had produced the body of Jesus, it would have killed Christianity in its infancy. If one of these guys who were faced with torture and death simply said it's not true, it would have killed Christianity at its very beginning. Think about all that torture, all of that death could have avoided simply if somebody would have said, I lied, it's not true. Now think about it. People today will confess the crimes that they did not commit so that they can get a favorable plea bargain. People will implicate others in order to save their own hide. But these early believers were so convinced of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and the certainty beyond the grave that they chose to go to death rather than deny the one who has set them free. That is a powerful argument. And then fourth, we have all of these skeptics that then became believers. There are people throughout history that have tried to disprove the resurrection of Jesus, right? Because if you disprove the resurrection of Jesus, you disprove Christianity. And they tried to do this, and then they only wind up becoming believers. Because when people examine the evidence honestly, they find it overwhelming. You know, most people who want to deny the resurrection start out with the presupposition that it didn't happen, and they've never objectively and faithfully examined the evidence. Now, if you want to do that, if you're curious about that, then there are a couple books I would encourage you to read. A Case for Easter by Lee Strobel, excellent book. Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, and More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell are both wonderful books that talk about all of the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These guys set out to disprove it, only to become Christians. You know, in times of doubt, there is one thing that will always get us back to center, and that one thing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, when we recount the evidence, when you think about the eyewitness testimonies, when you see the transformed lives of the disciples, how they were before the death and resurrection, and how they then lived after the death and after the resurrection. The people who went out and tried to disprove it only to have their lives changed. Because this is true regardless of the people who surround me. This is true regardless whether I feel it or not. And because of all of this, giving my life to Jesus, this is the smartest thing that I could ever do. And so what I would suggest to you this morning is this, that the resurrection of Jesus is not something that you can be neutral about. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you follow him with every ounce of strength that you have. If Jesus is the Savior, if Jesus is the Lord, he is one of a kind. And we follow him. And if you believe that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you should ask yourself why you're here. And you need to recognize or realize the implications of your conclusions. Now, if you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then I need to ask you another question. What have you done with your belief? Because it's not enough to simply believe the historical record. Right? God calls us to respond to the one who rose from the dead. Because if Jesus rose from the dead, then I encourage you to turn to him for forgiveness in a new life. And develop a personal relationship with the man who holds the keys to hell and of death. And that relationship with Jesus can begin today. And to start that relationship with Jesus, you know, you need to admit your sinfulness. You know, take responsibility for your thoughts. Take responsibility for your actions and your intentions. No more excuses. Admit the truth about your sin. Because we've all sinned, right? Scripture will say that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Second, you must be willing to turn from your sin. And you may feel like, you know, I cannot do that. I cannot turn from my sin on my own. I think that's a normal feeling. But God will give you the strength. God will empower you to move in a different direction if you are willing. And thirdly, turn to Jesus as the one who can pay for your sin and make you a child of God. You know, in the depth of your heart, come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I ask you to make me new by the power of your death and resurrection. Jesus, I turn to you as my Savior and my King. You know, receive the new life that Christ promises us and begin to follow him on the road that leads to eternity. You know, church, Easter is either a joke or it is the most important day in history. And you have to decide for yourself whether you're going to embrace the message of Easter or whether you will turn away. Because this is the difference that the resurrection makes in the lives of all those who believe that Christ has been risen from the dead. Right? There is a hope that lasts beyond the grave. There is a reason to be confident about forgiveness. There is a reason to be sure of heaven. There is a reason to rejoice. And his name is Jesus. So does Easter matter in 2021? Does Easter matter to you? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your promises that are sure. That, Lord, when we tread upon your promises, Lord, they are built on rock. And, Lord, there may be moments in our lives where we doubt or have questions. All we have to do is continue to look at you, because you are the one that does not move. You are the one that does not change. You are the ones with arms open wide, welcoming the world. Any of you who are weary or heavy burdened, you know, come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Jesus, we thank you for this invitation that Easter brings about. That Easter does matter. And it matters what we do with it. We pray this in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.